You ready to worship in the Word? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, right after the Gospels. We'll go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Last week, Pastor Adam spoke to you about see that the Lord is good in regard to us understanding the goodness of God in our lives. And as he mentioned earlier in the praise service, about tasting the Lord, seeing how he is good and enjoying him, and that we show our love to God through praise. One of the ways that we see that the Lord is good is we praise him with what comes out of our mouth, praising the Lord. Another one is by deliverance, which is departing from evil and doing good, which means once you are delivered, you don't go back to it. Try your best to. If you do, just ask forgiveness, repent, and ask for cleansing and discipline that the Lord would set you in the right direction. He talked about the fear of the Lord, meaning respect, and in doing that, in respecting and fearing God, you will find that peace that he gives you that you can't find anywhere else. And that will come through our lives. And finally, by our declaration of love to God through our obedience and servanthood of the saints and our fellow man. And in declaring our love for God, we discipline what comes out of our mouth, because it's easy to be nasty to those who we love and those who we know. But during his message last Sunday, I noted something interesting that Pastor Adam pointed out as we looked at Psalm 34 that makes sense. Makes sense in the life of a believer today. And he pointed out that when we refuse to let go of our bag of junk, as he called it, and do not drop it off at God's feet, then as we walk with Christ, while still carrying around that bag of junk, it starts to become comfortable. We begin getting used to it, because what we end up doing is adjusting our walk with the load we carry. And so we end up adjusting our walk to what we carry. You see a lot of limping Christians a lot of times. I'm not talking physically. That happens when you get older. But spiritually, you have some limping Christians. You have some Christians in wheelchairs because the load has become so heavy they can't even walk with it anymore. You have some in walkers that need assistance because they refuse to let go. And so today I would like to continue in that thought in our message today as we take a look at how to cut those ropes, which is my message title, Cutting the Ropes. Cut the ropes of those things in our lives that can lead to harm spiritually, and how options that we leave in our life can hinder the faith of a believer. But before we begin, just know that God inhabits the praise of his people by declaring with me this morning Psalms 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings, and your love endures forever and it never fails. Your supply of mercy and grace just always continues to bless us amazingly. And we ask that you reveal yourself to us this morning through your word. And as we open up our Bibles today, we ask that we would be able to hear your voice. Open our ears to hear and open our hearts to receive your word, transforming us into your likeness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, let's take a look at the book of Acts chapter 27. Let's start with verse 30. It says, "But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, he had let down the ship's boat or lifeboat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow." Listen to these words, "on the pretense of intending to lay out the anchors of the bow." The definition of pretense is an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. Well, that's the definition I found for it anyway. And They were pretending to be doing one thing, but they were actually doing something else. Verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men remain on the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved." And then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. I want to talk to you this morning about this story because it's really something. Verse 32, when it said they cut the ropes, and they basically eliminated plan B, the alternative. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning, is cutting the ropes and eliminating option B. And let me tell you why I say that. I say that because something powerful happens in our walk with God when we learn to stay in the ship with Jesus and hold on to God, hold on to our faith, especially during some crazy times and things that happen in our life. And now that's true faith when you're able to do that. Storms are never sent to destroy us. And I know that sounds odd, but they're sent to make us stronger in our faith. And that's never more true when you see what's happening in Tennessee and North Carolina and all those other states in that area. Yes, storms did destroy much of the land and buildings around the rivers, and some people even lost their lives. But that did not happen for God to destroy His people, because for many, if not most people there, they're relying on their faith in God during this time. Our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of forgiveness and peace, and desires to restore us and to restore our faith and make all things new. And though this disaster happened, as you can see in the news, people are now pouring out their love to those who have been affected. I saw in the news this morning, a guy just got his flying certificate, or whatever they give you to fly an airplane. He got it he started in January of this year and got it in March. And he felt led to fly his plane up there to deliver some things. They said that they were in need of pilots flying to areas to get items to the people that are in need. So he felt led to do that, which I thought was amazing. He only had 100 flying hours under his belt. And we, as Prayer of Faith, want to allow you as the congregation to help in that same way, which you'll hear more about that at the end of our service today. But remember this, the storms in our life that we encounter are to make us stronger in our faith and in our walk with Christ. And I know none of us like storms, but they're necessary. They're necessary for cleansing. They cleanse the land of debris. They replenish the ground with moisture. And sometimes things happen during that time. And it's hard to realize that our faith grows in those time of storms in our lives. But that's why it's called faith, because we hold on to it strong when we cannot see it. In 1853, America hosted the World's Fair in New York City. The organizers, what they did is they built this beautiful exhibition center called the Crystal Palace. And it was there where all the latest and greatest inventions were showcased, kind of like you see at our state fair when you go there. There's always somebody there trying to sell you something. And that's the same way with the World's Fair. They showcased all these new things that they had, because they didn't have the communications like we have today. It was a big gathering place where people would see it. Well, there was also this man there named Elisha Otis, and he pulled off one of the most remarkable sales pitches, stunts in the history of the World Fair. And we mostly know whenever you get in an elevator, he was the inventor of the safety elevator brake. But he had a hard time selling that idea, the safety elevator brake, because a lot of people were, quite frankly, just skeptical about the whole thing. And so he wanted to do something special. And so here's what he did. And there's actually pictures of it on the internet, if you can see it. I think we have it on the screen, maybe. Yeah, Josh put it up there. But it was a large room, much larger than the sanctuary, of course, and he built a huge platform like an elevator, and he had it lowered from the ceiling, and then he stood in it, and then he got everybody's attention while he was up on that platform, the thousands of people that filled that Crystal Palace place, and they turned, and they watched, and they were curious to what he was going to do. And he had a man with an axe on the side, and he said to the man with the axe, he said, "When I tell you, cut the rope, then swing that axe and cut that rope." And so when he screamed, "Cut the rope," the axe man, of course, hit the rope with the axe, and the whole platform, the elevator display and everything that he was standing on just collapsed, only to be caught by his special elevator brake that he was trying to showcase for everyone to see. And suddenly all of these people were gasping and oohing and awing because they thought that, you know, he was going to crash because that thing came down fast. But when that elevator brake caught it, suddenly he cried out, "All safe, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, everything's safe, all safe." And when Elisha Otis pulled off this unforgettable sales pitch, at that time there were only a few buildings in New York City that were taller than five stories. Most of them were about five stories tall. And the reason was this: no one wanted to climb stairs. And much more, they didn't trust elevators. But then in 1854, Otis installed an elevator in a building on Broadway, and the rest is history. By the year 1890, there were 10 buildings that were taller than 10 stories. And by 1900, there were 65 buildings more than 20 stories tall. And by 1908, there were 538 buildings in New York City that qualified as skyscrapers. More and more buildings began to grow taller and taller because one man cried out, "Cut the rope." And also something happened when they started building those higher floors. They started producing higher revenues for companies, which meant more jobs and more employees for the economy. And it wasn't long before people realized that I don't have to climb stairs anymore because I trust this elevator, because I know I saw that elevator brake work at the World's Fair. So Elisha Otis, he turned the world upside down, and he didn't just invent the elevator brake, but he was attributed to the modern skyscrapers as well with his elevators. He is the one who has given the achievement of the modern-day skyscraper, making it possible for taller buildings and higher revenues in New York as well as around the world. And so after hearing that story, I couldn't help but think of how our passage, our text in Acts chapter 27, where Paul gave the commandment to the centurion and the soldiers to eliminate plan B and to cut the rope. And here's what we could see in this. The skyscrapers, they could never go as high as they wanted to until somebody cut the rope and showed that he had something safe. Because as long as there was a plan B or an option B or an alternative, you just basically stayed down here in the lowlands where you knew it was safe. But the moment somebody cried, "Cut the rope," and eliminated plan B and said, "Nah, we're going to go for this. We're going to do this to see what happens," that determined how high you could go. Because any time that you have a plan B or an option, you don't try as hard to make plan A work. As long as you have in your mind another option, which is plan B, which means if this Christian thing doesn't work out, or if this marriage doesn't work out, or something of that nature, which basically is plan B, meaning if it doesn't work out, then it's okay because I've got this plan B here on the side. And I promise you, if that's your intention, you probably aren't going to make it over here. But that rope you're holding on to, if that thing's connected to plan B or another option that you have in your heart or you have in your mind, that's the very thing that holds you down. that's connected, if it's connected to plan B. And it will not cause you to go up as high as you can go as God wants in our lives. I mean, you can see it in today's society around the world, even in America, our great country of America. You see fear, you see anxiety, you see worry that just invades people's lives of God's children. I'm not Captain Obvious on this thing. I mean, it's there. You see it. Satan is wearing out the saints of the Most High God. But Daniel predicted that in the Bible. He said he would do that in the last days. Matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, reads like this: He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. That's his intention, just to wear you down. He's trying to weaken your faith. Satan is trying to weaken your resolve. He's trying to weaken your heart or your hope. And here's a big one. He's trying to weaken your determination to quit and to weaken your determination to keep on trying. He's trying to encourage you to quit. He wants you to stop. He wants you to give up. He wants you to settle for plan B when he knows that God has a plan A for your life and me and mine. Well, I don't care what the devil does because he's been trying to do it since the beginning of time. But you and I know what we're going to do. And you and I, as a believer in Christ, we're not going to just give up. We're not just going to give in. And we're not trying to live in fear because God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, but rather of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we must determine that in our faith. That we're not going to quit. That we're going to press on. Regardless of the cultural storm that lies ahead of us that tries to weaken us and to tries to encourage us to take a plan B. And I just want to announce that if you're thinking about quitting, if you're thinking about opting out for plan B for your life, which is essentially saying this is my way instead of God's way, then you're basically in the wrong church. I mean, this isn't really a place to come if you're thinking about quitting. Because we have had people come who have quit, and they have left. And some of them are still floundering about. They haven't found another church. They always do it under the auspice of, God's leading me in another way. Well, we bless them and encourage them that they're always welcome back. But when you check back with them or you hear through other people that, no, they're not in church anymore. And in our passage today, we find that Paul was in a storm in Acts chapter 27. And some of those guys wanted to jump ship. They wanted to hop in the lifeboat and get off that thing in the middle of that storm. And Paul said in Acts chapter 27, verse 22 and 23, you can read it with me. He says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship." He was telling them the ship's going to crash, but you guys are going to be alive. He said, "For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me." He was telling them that you've got to stay on the ship or you're going to perish. And in the passage we read earlier that said that there were some sailors who, when Paul said, "Drop the anchors of the ship," the scripture said that these sailors were pretending that they were lowering the anchors, but instead they were trying to lower the lifeboat. And in verse 30, it says that they lowered the lifeboat, the skiff, that they were letting down. So what we see is this, is that we're in the ship, let's say, let's call it the good old gospel ship. And now they're in a storm. And in a storm, you feel like quitting. In a storm, you're being tossed and turned in the storm. And everything's not all happy and clappy and praise the Lord. And in the storm, there's fears and there's worry and there's all kinds of things going on in our lives. But instead, decide to drop their anchors while saying, "I'm more determined now than I ever have been. I'm not letting go of God now. I'm going through this storm. And I'm not about to quit now. I'm going to drop the anchors, bless God. If I die trusting God. If it's a fight all the way to go to heaven, then I'm going to fight all the way to heaven. But I'm not abandoning the gospel ship. I am not giving up on the fellowship of the believers. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to love those around me. And those who love God as one for encouragement, for prayer, for peace, and for support. I'm not giving up on stewardship. God's going to be the Lord of my money. I'm not giving up on discipleship. I'm going to keep on growing in the Lord. I'm going to keep on coming to Bible study. And just because I'm going through a storm, I'm not pulling up my anchors and letting down the lifeboat to bail out. But notice what they did. They were pretending that they were. They were pretending to be doing something while they were doing another thing. They were letting down the lifeboat saying, "Don't tell anybody, but we're fixing to jump ship." It always has and continues to fascinate me that you can be in church and have a plan B and think that you can fool God. And Paul, with great discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit, discerned that these men were pretending that they were doing one thing while they were scheming and planning to do another thing. Doing one thing while pretending to do another. And Paul discerned this to the Spirit, and he said, if they don't stay in this boat, then they're not going to make it, because the alternative there is not the answer. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but that the alternative is not the answer, because there's only one way. Amen? Really, Paul was saying, he said, let it be known that there's only one way to be saved, that there's only one way. You can't have one foot in the church and have one foot in the escape boat and telling yourself, if this thing doesn't work out, then I'm going with plan B. But when you want victory in your life, when you want to grow, and when you want to go up to where God wants to take you, when you want to sit with Jesus Christ in those heavenly places, then it requires you and I to cut the ropes and say, like that old hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And whatever it costs me, I'm going to go all the way. You really don't have an option with plan B. It's that way, God's way, or you'll perish, according to Scripture. There's only one way to be saved, to come out from among them, to get rid of your alternatives, to get rid of your options, pretending to do one thing while you're making plans to do something else. Right now, there's some who are either planning on living for God or planning maybe to stay in the church, planning to do His will, planning to keep His commandments, being obedient to God through His Word and what the Holy Spirit prompts them, or they're planning to backslide. And they're both groups. Both groups are in the churches today. Some who are literally in the gospel ship, praising God with the other believers, but have no intentions on being sold out to Christ, because they just want a soul salve for their spirit, just enough to make you feel that you won't go to hell. But today, through the Word of God, we see that at some point, you've got to pull out the sword and you've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to let the internet send me to hell through watching things that I don't need to see. I've got to cut some ropes. I'm not going to let those things which are unpleasing to God and things that I know I should not be doing send me to hell. I'm not going to let condemnation, I'm not going to let shame or guilt from my past defeat me in my walk with Christ. I'm going to cut some ropes. And we've got to learn that at some point in our life, that's what's keeping us down, are those ropes. And when you cut them, when you make the spiritual decision in your life to cut them, you begin to go up. You go up. You get on the elevator, and you go up. You go up, and your spirit rises higher and higher, and you begin living in victory. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life and abundantly. Some believers never get to that point. They pretend that they do. Stop pretending. The alternative is not the answer. Plan B is not the answer. Cut the rope. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. And for God's sake, it's not time to have one foot in the church and one foot in the lifeboat or plan B. If you do, then you're going to be miserable. People aren't happy who live like that, who ride the fence. The book of Titus, it calls them carnal Christians is what they are. And they're miserable. They're miserable. When you make up your mind to where I'm never going back, what you get then is you get that joy. The joy Jesus talks about that it overtakes you. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11, he said, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And some believers, they just read that, but they never experience that. And you may say, well, I just can't do that. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because you can do what you want to do. You and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Jesus said. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus won't give up on you, but what many choose to do is choose to live down here when God wants to raise you higher and higher. And you may only get to the fifth floor your whole entire life because that's where you feel safe in your life with Christ. And that's okay if you want to do that. But if you want to be up in your age physically, but way down in your age spiritually as an infant or as an adolescent, or as a teen spiritually in your life with Christ, that's your choice. Many people like staying on the fifth floor. But God has greater things for you and I. Stories and stories and stories and stories planned for you. But until you cut the rope, you may have stayed on the fifth floor your whole life because you wouldn't cut some ropes with some old friends or wouldn't cut the ropes with some relationships you need to look at. You know, because as long as you have a plan B, that's when people quit. That's why we need to cut some of those ropes off of us. You can become carnal. You can become worldly. And at some point in your life, and there will come a time, trust me, a time when you realize that you need to take the Word of God that knows your intents and your thoughts, which are in your life, which are not good and not pleasing to God, and cut them loose so that you'll be free. And God will take you higher than you ever dreamed you could go. But until you're hanging, until you cut that rope, you're always going to be hanging on to it because you're just not sure. And I know I'm safe here on the fifth floor. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, he said, the Spirit brought me into the temple. And he said, when I got in the inner court of the house, I noticed 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. Their faces were facing toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. So let's say that back here is the temple, the baptistry in that area. And let's say that behind that is the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence. Well, they were standing in the temple, but they weren't facing God. They were not facing the Word. They were not facing the presence of God. But they were in the temple. They were physically in the right place, but they were facing the opposite direction. In other words, they were in the right place, but they were looking the wrong direction. And sadly to say, there are believers in the church today that do that very same thing. It's possible to be in the right place and be facing the wrong direction. That's what many people do. They come to church, but they're not looking at Jesus. They're not living their life by Jesus. They have no intention on making Jesus Lord of their life. They're just happy to be saved, want to be part of that glory train when it comes time to go to heaven. They're not looking at Jesus. And what happens, they end up grieving the Holy Spirit because they close their heart to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And when you do that enough times, it starts to become callous. Callous. And you know what happens when we get calluses on our hands. They become thick. And they are in church. And thank God, I want to congratulate you. At least something is still drawing you here. Something is still pulling you to church. But hear this. When you're able to get free is when you need to turn your back around toward the Holy One. When you get free is when you need to take your eyes off the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you get free, you get your eyes back on Jesus and are able to get back in the Word. And you start believing His promises again. And then when that happens, watch what happens. Because when you start doing that, He'll begin taking you up, 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 out, and you can get free. And then those chains and those ropes will break off you once you decide to cut them. Because you and I were born for greater things than just being an addict. You and I were born for greater things than just being a slave to our emotions of wrath and anger and malice. You and I were born for greater things than just being full of shame and guilt and condemnation by the Holy Spirit. We can cut the ropes. Cut them. And watch God take you higher. Abraham said to Lot, he said, you choose where you want to go. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. So Lot lifted his eyes and he saw all the valley of Jordan and all the watered vegetation everywhere is nice and green. And Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw the well-watered grass of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, Abraham, I want to go there. But he was already looking in that direction in the first place. It wasn't like he just noticed it out of anywhere. He'd been looking at it. And there's a lot of people who are in the church, but they're not facing the cross of Christ. They're not facing Jesus. They're not facing His glory, His presence, His Word. They're looking in the wrong direction even while they're in church. Let me tell you what Lot's problem was. He was a man who was walking with a man who was walking with God. He was walking with Abraham. And Abraham was walking with God. So Lot was a man who was walking with a man who was walking with God. And there's a big difference between someone who is walking with God and someone who is walking with someone who is walking with God. I don't know if it's your spouse or who it may be, but if your spouse, you're walking with God because your spouse is committed and you're not, there's a difference. Mama can't get you into heaven. Daddy can't get you into heaven. Preacher can't get you into heaven. You've got to walk with God yourself. And as the old hymn states to us, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in His glory and grace. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And what happens is the Holy Spirit will begin to renew your mind and He'll start cutting away the cobwebs of shame and guilt and condemnation. And you'll begin to get up out of the grave that you just have put yourself into and say, I'm alive again. I'm alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you won't look around at people who say that all the time thinking, huh, that's interesting. You can begin saying it yourself. You need to cut the shame in your life. You need to cut the rope of what happened in the past. Just cut that thing loose. Get rid of it because it's hindering you. It's keeping you on the fifth floor. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And He said, you are free. Jesus washed you, and if you have repented, then you are free. Then cut it loose. Some of us still have little lifeboats of grief. And the Lord says today, I'm going to cut you free from grief. He's saying, I don't want you in depression the rest of your life because maybe you've lost someone. And there's nothing wrong with grieving over someone you love who you have lost. Lord knows we've had our share of that in the past weeks. Amen? But what I'm saying is there's a time to cut the ropes and say, I'm never going back to that depression because I'm going to go higher. I'm dropping my anchor and I'm staying on the ship with Jesus. I'm not jumping in this plan B to jump ship. Maybe you'd say today, Pastor, there's some ropes on me that I just need to get free. Pastor, I see the ropes that the enemy has in my life and I just want to cut that rope. If that's you, then I encourage you to both symbolically and spiritually to take that sword like those soldiers did and just cut the ropes. Cut the ropes saying, I'm going to follow Jesus all of the way because I'm set free and I'll be free indeed. To lift your hands and just pray all over this room right where you are, or maybe as our prayer counselors come forward, you can pray with them. They'll be happy to encourage you and pray with you. And I believe that the hold of the enemy is going to break as we make the decision to cut the ropes, church. Let's pray. Jesus, I just surrender to you. I give my life over to you again. The enemy has connected me with things in my life, some things that are option B. That's a way out. It's not your will. It's not your plan. It's not your desire for my life. And I know it if I really want to be honest with myself and with you, Father. And I can't free myself. But right now I can do what I can do, and your grace will do what I cannot do. With my will, I will make up my mind that I want to be free. And I want to lose some of those things that have just weighed me down and just weighed my heart down, Father. I want the elevator in my life to go up, and I want to go to another level, Father. Holy Spirit, bring me to a higher place in my life. Release the anointing within me. Let me grow. Let me soar high to know you, to love you, to serve you, to begin walking in your will. So right now, just cut me loose. Cut the ropes. Let me go where you want me to go. In Jesus' name. And all of the church said, amen.